Turn, please, to the book of Micah, the sixth chapter, Micah chapter 6. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 950. We'll read four verses here. We'll read them responsively, verses 6 through 9. Micah chapter 6, beginning with verse 6 and reading through verse 9. The eighth verse is the text verse. And after we read these verses, we'll turn to yet another verse close by. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see the name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? And just a few pages over to the book of Habakkuk, page 956. Second chapter, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Let's read the verse together, please. Ready? Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so for this day. We thank you for this good church and for the great people here who make up the church family. And thank you that we're together again, and thank you that our captain is back. Sure pray that you'd bless the service and give our hearts attentiveness, our minds, help them not to stray during the preaching, but to be concentrated upon that which you have for us. There's a wealth, there's a treasure in what you have for us today. Help us not to miss it. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is important. I think every truth that is preached from this platform is worthy of your attentiveness and worthy of your consideration. However, I doubt very seriously if you've heard many sermons in your life that will be more vital to your relationship with your God and your relationship with your fellow man as the sermon that you're about to hear. I'm going to speak this morning on a message entitled, I got three titles to it. Just take the one you want. One is, how to get along with God and everybody. Two, second title number two, the just shall live by faith. I'm going to teach you what that scripture means this morning in its purity and simplicity. Three, I could call the sermon, God is not fair. God is not fair. See, what have you been doing all of these 3 weeks? Well, I've been spending a lot of the time preparing sermons. In fact, I'm going to preach three of them tonight at 7 o'clock here at this place. But this morning, I want you to follow me very, very carefully. I honestly believe that many people in this room could learn to get along with everybody if you'd listen and heed to what I'm going to say. I honestly believe that you'd never blame God for anything else in your life if you'd listen to what I'm going to say. I'm going to preach on the subject, God is not fair, or the just shall live by faith, or how to get along with God and everybody. Now, I want to talk about justice, so let's pray. Father, bless us this morning as we try to preach, and help us as we try to help our people. That's what it's all about. So please give us a truth this morning that will transform our lives, at least in some area of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the question comes this morning, you follow me carefully now, the question comes, what is justice? Now I'm going to give you several brief definitions of what justice is. The Bible says in Micah 6:8, what's required of man? And there are three things that God says he requires of man, and one is to do justly. That's one thing that's required of man, to do justly. Now, if that's required of you, not to be saved, of course, but if that's required of you, certainly you ought to want to know what justice is. The Bible says in Habakkuk, and again in Romans chapter 1, in fact, it quotes Habakkuk in Romans 1:17, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But before that it says this, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and the just shall live by faith. So follow me carefully. I want to show you this morning a little object lesson. This is a scale. Now, that scale, as you know, you've seen in courtroom scenes and so forth, you've seen pictures of scales. Now, the honest, simple truth is, justice is the balancing of that scale. Now, let's see what I can do to balance that scale a little bit. Uh-oh, that's a little too much there. I'll put that right there, put that right back there, and that's not enough. I'm in trouble now. And so I'm going to take a little bitty piece off of this right here, but it won't come off like that, and put it back. And please, I beg you, please, I beg you, please, look at there. And now, that's what you call justice. Justice is the balancing of the scale. Justice is the equaling of the consequences to the deed. Did you hear me? It is the equaling of the consequences to the deed. Are you just when you punish your children? You are if the consequences or the punishment balances with the deed. Justice is equaling the reaction to the action. In other words, you react to something. Justice is when, but sometimes many of us we will react more than the action, and so we don't have justice. So we have to finagle a little bit like that, and then we have justice. But many of you, somebody does something to hurt you, and you react wrongly, and you do not react right properly, and so the scales do not balance, and so your reaction has not been just. If you ask Dr. Evans and Dr. Jorgensen, who meet with me once a week for a couple of hours to discuss the work of the college and oftentimes the discipline of the students, you'll find, you ask them, Brother, what's the statement Brother Hiles makes the most? Probably it's this, fellows, we've got to be just. We've got to be just. In other words, what do we have any precedent cases to this? What have we done before? We must not treat one student one way, another student another way. We must be just. And the justice, of course, is the balancing of the scales that the punishment may equal the infraction. It is the balancing of the scale. That's the value of algebra. I never have been a great lover of algebra, but I've cut up a great deal about it. One of the great values of algebra is that it teaches you to balance the equation. And the balancing of that equation in algebra is simply a symbol of justice. When the response is equivalent to the action, or the reaction equivalent to the action. That's one thing about preaching. Good preaching always balances the scale. For example, the solution balances with the problem. When you go out of a service sometime, you feel heavy and you feel depressed. You know why? Because the preacher spent more time on the problem than he has the solution to the problem. But if you somehow can have the scale balanced when you hear a sermon, the problem is presented. And then as the problem is presented, suddenly the preacher pivots and he turns to the solution of that problem, and the solution and the problem balance each other. You don't know why you leave feeling a certain way. You don't know why you leave feeling depressed sometimes. You don't know why sometimes you leave feeling on top of everything. I'll tell you, subconsciously, it's because the solution must balance with the problem before you leave, or there's an emptiness when you leave. Now, this is the most important thing in the world. This matter of justice is the most... Oh, brother, we're not going to have any more justice in this sermon, I'll tell you for sure. But, oh boy, now I've broken the stupid thing. This matter... I'm sorry, the stupid preacher has broken this thing. But at least I've got your attention for a while. I wonder if I can do this. I've been sick, and it's a little hard to do this heavy work. Not from you, Roy. So, there it is. and I put this right back on here like that, and 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 then cheat a little bit like that, like your butcher does. And now, this is the most important thing in the world. I said justice is the most important thing in the world. I said justice is the most important thing in the world. The justice of God is more important than the love of God. Because if the love of God does not equate to the justice of God, then the love of God is not pure love. That's one reason, that's the reason why that the great attribute of God is justice. Now, God is a God of love, but God is first a God of justice. You know that's what Calvary is all about? When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, don't follow me now, don't lose me now. When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, his sin. Now, what happened was, man had sinned, and the scale was not balanced. Now, that scale must be balanced. The price must be paid to balance the iniquity. What is that price? The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. The wages of sin is death. So you have to have death to balance the sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So God said, I must require penalty and payment for sin. If God let one soul go to hell because he joined the church and that's all, God would not be just. Because joining a church doesn't balance the scale. Being baptized doesn't balance the scale. Taking communion doesn't balance the scale. God did not say the wages of sin is drinking a cup of juice. God did not say the wages of sin is being dipped in a baptistry. No, the wages of sin is death in all of its consequences, including spiritual death, which means the wages of sin is hell. And you got one or two choices this morning. Either you trust the Savior or you die and go to hell. Well, you say that infringes upon my culture. You'll be a cultured burning person in hell then. I'm simply saying that God's justice must be satisfied when man sinned. God turned his back upon man. He would not fellowship with man. And here was man had turned away from God, and God had turned away from man. But the great heart of God, so consumed with love, said, I want man back. I want him back. But God could not just turn and say, welcome back. Because if God just turned and said, welcome back, his justice would not have been satisfied. And so when Jesus died on the cross, God became flesh himself and fulfilled the law and went to Calvary and paid our penalty and bore our sins and paid my price. Jesus paid it all. What does that mean? He balanced the scale. He balanced the scale of sin. Here was sin weighing you down. And God comes along on Calvary and balances that scale. And righteousness and justice and peace and mercy all kissed each other. And now God can turn back and receive man to himself and still be God. If God lets one man go to heaven without his justice being satisfied, God would fall from his throne. The stars would fall from their courses. And God would not be God. And all of us would go to hell. But thank God, on Calvary, Jesus paid my penalty. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord. I know I'm burning up some scar tissue, Doc. But Jesus paid it all. 'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. Hallelujah for the justice of God. God's justice was met on Calvary. And Jesus went to the cross and died and bore your sins in his body on the tree. Why? To satisfy the holiness and justice of a righteous God. The truth is, Christ died for you, but not first. The main reason Christ died was for God. You see, Christ died for God. God could not accept you back without justice being meted and still be God. But God loved you, and God wanted you back. And God said, I've got to think of some way to get man back. And God said, the only way I can do it is for the price to be paid. God said, I know. I'll pay the price for him. I'll become flesh. I'll live on the earth for 33 years. I'll go to the cross and die on the cross. I'll take his own sins and my body upon the tree. And I'll pay his price.
Jesus went to Calvary and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was separated from the Father and suffered the sum total of death that you and I ought to suffer. And now, hallelujah, the balance has been made and the price has been paid. No longer is it like that, but Jesus made it like that. So our sins could be paid for and God's justice could be satisfied and God's scale once again could be balanced. Now follow me carefully. Only one has perfect justice. Don't miss me. Only one has perfect justice. Statement number two. No two people have the same justice. I do not see justice like you do. You do not see justice like I do. Because you are human. There's only one who has perfect justice, and that's God. God always punishes exactly in proportion with the transgression. God is the only, hear me now, don't leave me. God is the only person who has perfect justice. That means that I do not have perfect justice, you don't have perfect justice, you don't have perfect justice, and you don't have perfect justice. That means that no two people have the same justice. That means, hear me this, I must not make everyone's concept of justice reconcile to mine. You follow me? My justice is tainted. Now, you ask anybody that works for me, I want to be just. And God knows I try to be just. But my justice is not perfect. My justice is tainted by this body of flesh. And your justice is not perfect. That means you may try to be just, and I may try to be just, but we won't see it the same way. All right, what does that mean? That means I must decide if I think a person is just in his heart. And if he's just in his heart, I must allow him to be different from me as long as I think he has a just heart and is trying to be just. You follow me? Now, look, you won't fuss with anybody anymore if you'll get this. You won't have fallings out anymore if you'll get this. The reason that you fall out with people is because you do not see justice as they see it. Now, I must decide. Let me illustrate. I am convinced that John R. Rice was a just man. I do not know a man that I ever met that I think tried to be just more than John R. Rice. But I myself sometimes would not, his justice and mine would not be the same. Illustration. I wrote a book called The Hiles Church Manual. After that, I wrote a book called The Hiles Sunday School Manual. The Sword of the Lord at that time was printing my books. Dr. Rice printed, I asked him to print 7,000 copies of The Hiles Sunday School Manual. He did. Boy, it's always a good thing. When you get a new book in, a book you've written, it's almost like a baby being born. And you get that first copy and you look at it, you know. And so I got that first, I went to the barbershop. And I was sitting there in the barbershop and reading this book, and I wanted the barber to see how Sunday School Manual by Dr. Jack Hiles. I wanted him to see that, so I started reading it like this, you know. And so I began to thumb through it. 21 pages were out of place. Like you went from page 168 to page 189. And then page 169 through page 188 were over in the back of the book somewhere. 21 pages. My soul, I can't let this go all across America. Everybody knows I'm perfect. I can't let this go across America. I called Dr. Rice on the phone. I said, Dr. Rice, have you seen this book you printed for me? Hiles Sunday School Manual. He said, I haven't read it. He said, you like it? I said, I like all but 21 pages. I said, Dr. Rice, 21 pages has been left out and placed over later on. I think it's 21 pages, 20 some odd, left over and placed somewhere else in the book. I said, what you going to do about it? Dr. Rice said, well, he said, Dr. Hiles, now follow me carefully. It's already settled. I think John Rice is a just man. I don't think he has perfect justice because only God has perfect justice. But I think he's a just man. So I said, what do you think? Dr. Rice said, I think we ought to put a little notice in the front of the book, a little sticker in the front of the book. Pages 169 through 188 are located in the back of the book. I said, Dr. Rice, we can't do that. Why, he said, that's fine. I said, would you want to do it if it were one of your books? He said, it's not one of my books. Now, I'll be honest with you. I couldn't understand that. To me, it was just as plain as day he ought to reprint the 7,000 books. To him, it was as plain as day he didn't have the money to print. I mean, he shouldn't print the 7,000 book. He ought to have a little sticker in the front of the book. Now, wait a minute. Simple illustration. But I want to show you why you fall out with people. Dr. John Rice and Dr. Jack Hiles could have had a falling out that day if Dr. Jack Hiles hadn't already settled back yonder years ago that John Rice was a sincere, just man. It's all settled. I think he's sincere and just. Now, only God has perfect justice. Since only God has perfect justice, John Rice someday may have imperfect justice, and I may have imperfect justice. Now, in this case, it may be mine, or it may be his. Of course, I know it was his. But look, it's all settled. I didn't get mad at John Rice, so what did I do? I said, Dr. Rice, how much did it cost you to print each one of those books? He said, $1. I said, I'll buy all 7,000 for $1 a copy. I sent John Rice a check for $7,000. She shipped the 7,000 books to me. I took them over to the most of them over to the garbage dump between here and Gary and burned them. I may as well have taken $7,000 and burned it. Now, to me, I did not think that was justice. But I didn't have to think that was justice because I believe Dr. Rice is a just man. You follow me? I'm saying, what is justice? The balancing of the scales. But only God can balance the scales perfectly. And there are times when John Colston is going to think Brother Hiles is unjust, and I'm going to think he's unjust, but it's all settled. I think the man is a sincere man who wants to do justly. So when he and I disagree on something, I'm going to accept it and still love him and not fall out with him. And listen, you don't have to fall out with people. You don't have to get mad because somebody mistreats you. You folks in business together, look, decide before you go in business with somebody whether they're just or not. And then when you and every time two people go in business, you're going to have some times when one of you is going to think you got cheated by the other. Now, you can do one or two things. You can say, I believe the guy is sincere. I believe he tries to be just. I think he's doing what he thinks is right. I'll not fall out. Or you can say, I've lost my confidence. Listen, you'll lose your confidence. If you have confidence in somebody, it's confidence. So I have confidence in a man's justice. About Bob O'Clair and I this morning were talking, and he's afraid I'm going to tell about this. But Bob O'Clair was principal of Hammond Baptist High School. Before he was principal, he was a teacher there, and I think you sort of acted as assistant principal, didn't you? Discipline, in charge of discipline. Our daughter Cindy was a senior there. I think she was a junior or senior. And Cindy was not a bad girl. She just decided to become the attorney for every bad girl in school. And she decided that she was going to be the executor of justice at Hammond Baptist High School. So one day a girl misbehaved back in the back of the room, or at least the teacher said she did, but the girl wasn't misbehaving. The girl had reached down to pick up a book or something, and the teacher punished her, and Cindy said, that's not right, teacher, you shouldn't have done that. And Cindy shouldn't have done that either. But she said, you shouldn't have done that. And the teacher said, well, Miss Hiles, just who do you think you are? And she should have said, I'm the daughter of the superintendent of these schools, and you'll lose your job if you mess with me. And don't forget that, teachers. All of our kids are out of school now, but we do have grandchildren. But anyway, Mr. O'Clair, do you know what he did? Why, he drugged that precious darling girl that's never done anything wrong. He drugged her into the office. And she cried. And he made her sit there all the rest of the day. And she was crying all the rest of the day. And I couldn't see that. But I can see this. I believe in that man up there. I believe in it. Parents, this will solve all your problems. I believe in that man right there. I believe in that man's sincerity. I believe in his desire to do something. And you didn't hear one word from me out of that. You got a bloody nose, but not one word. I didn't say one word. Just wham! And I didn't say one word. I didn't say you're fired. I just pointed to the door. That's all. Now, To this day, I can't understand what he did. And every time I think about it, But the truth is, he thought he did right. Now, the fact that I trusted him means I loved him. I did not argue with him. I did not trust his perfect justice. I trust his desire to have perfect justice. I did not trust the fact that he's always right in his justice. I trust the fact that he always tries to be right in his justice. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to settle it. I believe in a man. I believe he's just. And when his justice and my justice do not see eye to eye, I'm not going to necessarily think he's right, but I'm going to think he's sincere. I'm not going to fall out with him over it. Illustration. I'm a friend of Dr. Curtis Hudson. Some people have felt that Dr. Curtis Hudson has not defended me as he should have defended me in the battle I've been in. I've forgotten about the battle. Best I remember, there was some battle going on before I got sick. But I've been a friend to Curtis Hudson for many years. I think Curtis Hudson is a man who wants to do justly. It's all settled. Now, he has not done always what I think he should have done. But I think he's done always what he thinks he should have done. He has not done always what I think would be the just thing to do, but I'm convinced that he has done the things that he thinks are the just things to do. So because of that, it's settled. I don't doubt him. I don't part company with him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd get this, it'd transform your life. You just decide if this fellow Keith McKinney... Well, not all of us know about Keith. Let's go this side over here. But you just decide if Keith McKinney is... If you think he's an honest man. If you think he's a just man. Now get it settled. Is he an honest man? Do I think he's sincere and tries to be just? Okay, get it settled. Now, by the way, you are... Okay, I am a just man, and I try to be just. He is a just man. He tries to be just, but only one can perfectly balance the scales, and that's him. So if I think Keith tries to be just and is an honest man, and his justice and mine do not see eye to eye, then I give him the leniency. By the way, that's what mercy is. Mercy is your proper treatment of a friend in whom you have confidence, and you exert him and give him the right to see justice differently from yours. So if Keith McKinney's justice and mine, if I think Keith McKinney's justice is like that, I think it's like that. If I think it's like that, and that's what it looks to me. But he thinks mine looks that way. You see. But I have settled in my heart that I believe. So, there will be times, now follow me carefully, there will be times when I think that Keith McKinney is unfair. But I still trust him. See? There will be times when I think Keith McKinney's actions toward me are unfair. But I do not break with him. I still love him. Why? Because he was settled back there. I believe in him. Now, you listen to me. You believe in people. And I don't say believe in everybody, but decide in whom you believe. And if you believe a person is honest and fair and tries to be just, then hear me carefully. Don't require everybody to reconcile to your justice because you're as human as they are. Now, let me say this. Follow me carefully. Now, I must also give God this same allowance. God is perfect justice, right? All right. Then does God ever mistreat me? Does God ever mistreat you? Do you ever think God's mistreating you? Yes. Last Sunday morning, doctor told me, he said, "Preacher, if you feel like it Sunday, you can preach." Oh, brother, blessed God. I thought, boy, oh boy, I get to preach Sunday. And Saturday, I came to the church a week ago yesterday, and I worked for about 5 hours. And I felt, boy, tomorrow I get to go back to my pulpit. I won't have to miss another Sunday. I went home. I took my temperature about 9 o'clock at night. It went up to 100 degrees, and I just sunk. And then went to bed. I couldn't sleep. I mean, I couldn't sleep a wink. At 1:30 in the morning, I gave up on sleeping, got dressed, went down in the kitchen, turned on the stove in the kitchen so I have places warm, and sat there in the kitchen the rest of the night and studied. and I got tired, and I had temperature, and I got weak. And about 6:30 or 7 o'clock on Sunday morning, I began to cry, and I said, I can't walk to the car door, and I can't preach this morning. And for 3 hours, I cried. 3 solid hours, I cried. And then when Sunday school started, I cried. And then when preaching started, I cried. But for 3 solid hours, and I said, dear God, I don't understand this. Doesn't seem right. As I see it, you're not fair. But I don't have to see it. Because I trust the fact that God is perfect justice. Don't you see? And because of that, I say He's not fair. Sometimes I don't believe God is fair. And this morning, there's some things in your life, and you look to God and say, that's not fair. Add two words, one line to it. Add this to it. As far as I see it. As far as I see it. Say, God, as I see this, this is not fair. But, praise God, He's always fair. He's always just. He makes no mistakes. And you'll never doubt God again if you'll follow what I'm saying this morning. Now, what does that mean? The just shall live by faith. What does that mean? I live by faith in Ray Boardway. If Ray Boardway does something that to me looks unjust, I believe he thinks it's just, so I live by faith in him. I live by faith in Keith McKinney. So if Keith McKinney does something that to me looks like it's unfair, I believe in him because I trust him. My faith is in him because my faith is in him. I believe it's sincere. I live by faith in Roy Moffitt. I live by faith in Jeff Owens. I live by faith in Mike Sisson. I live by faith in Bob O'Clair. I live by faith in thousands of people across America. And of course, I live by faith in my great God. So since I do that, I live by faith. How do I get along with people that mistreat me? I live by faith. How do I get along with people that work with me and I can't understand what they do? I live by faith. By faith in what? By faith in them. But what faith in them? The faith that I think they're just and try to be just. Not perfect justice, but bless God, if I can overlook Brother Colston's imperfect justice, though he's sincere, I certainly ought to overlook God's perfect justice when I can't agree with it. Here's what is meant. In Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. That's what is meant in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. And that's exactly what Job meant when he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You think Job looked up and said, God, you did right in taking my 10 kids. I think Job looked up again and again and said, God, that's not fair. You think Job looked up and said, God, you did right in taking my house and my cattle, my sheep, my oxen, my asses, and all of my properties? I think Job looked up again and again and said, I don't understand this. It doesn't seem fair to me. You think when Job was in the ash heap of the city dump, scratching his body with a piece of metal, and looked up and his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? You think Job looked up and said, God, I can see it clearly. I don't think so. I think Job looked up and said, you're not fair, but though you slay me, I trust you. I trust your justice. I trust the fact that you're perfect justice. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it'll transform your life if you'll abide by what I'm preaching this morning. Literally transform your life. It'll solve your fusses with your wife. Hey, listen. You know why you fuss with your wife? Because she's always wrong. You know that. If I could just figure out why these women fuss with us. But this'll solve it. Settle it once and for all. Is your wife, is she sincerely trying to be just? How many of you think your wife honestly tries to be just? Raise your hand. How many did not? Would you raise your hand? How many are scared to death? Would you raise your hand? But settle it. Look, do you know that women and men don't see justice the same? Did you know a woman can say, I love you, and in an hour say, I hate you, and mean it both times? She can. Now, if a man says, I hate you, mark it down. You don't have to check with him anymore. He'll hate you even when he's forgotten why. He'll hate you. But look, settle it. Settle it. Do you think she's trying to be just? If you think she's trying to be just, then live by faith. Live with her by faith. You think your husband is trying to be just? Then trust the fact that if he makes a decision that seems unjust according to your justice, he's trying to live with your husband by faith. That's what the Bible says. The just shall live by faith. I live and trust God because I trust Him. When God's not fair to me, I look up and say, that's not fair, that's not right, I can't see it, but though you slay me, yet will I trust you because I believe you're just. And then I look to people who mistreat me, as I call mistreat me. And our definition of mistreatment could very well be simply this. You do not treat me according as I, my justice, says you ought to treat me. But my justice is not always right, and your justice is not always right. So I am going to live. Listen, I have lived as pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond for 30 years by faith. What kind of faith? I trust you. I love you. If you mistreat me, I think you're trying to treat me properly. So what do? I live by faith. By faith in what? By faith in your justice. I live by faith. I live by faith in my God. Do I always see? No. I think He's wrong sometimes. As I myself examine justice, I think God is not just. But I have to go back to that original decision I made when I was 11 years old. I'm putting my trust and my faith in my Savior. And my Savior is just and perfect and always right. So I'll always trust Him. That's what salvation is all about. You come to the place where you realize that you're a sinner and that Christ Jesus paid the penalty and satisfied the justice of a holy and righteous God. And you say, dear Jesus, I trust you as my hope for heaven and take you as my Savior. That moment, God writes your name in heaven, forgives your sins, redeems your soul, saves you from hell, and makes a home in heaven for you where you live forever. It's faith. Faith. Not faith that what God does will always agree with what you think, and not faith that God's justice will always be your justice. And not faith that those that live with you and alongside you, the deacons. I don't always see things eye to eye with the deacons. Last time I saw something eye to eye with the deacons was in 1918, I think it was. But no, I don't always see things eye to eye. And the deacons don't always see things eye to eye. But there's one thing. I love those men. I cannot tell you what a joy it was for me to go to deacon's meeting last night after being gone all this time. When I walked in there, I felt like I was liberated and walked in that meeting with those good men. Now, trust those men. They're good men. If sometimes we don't agree, I trust them, and they trust me. And that's the way we get along with each other. And that's the way homes are built. And that's the way marriages are built. And that's the way sons and daughters can get along. And that's the way business co-partners can get along. And that's the way Christian people can get along with each other. We settle it once and for all. He tries to be honest. I believe it. And I'm going to believe that when he makes a mistake, he's sincere because I believe the man is the just man. And then you look up to God and say, God, I don't understand my life. You took my mother this week. I don't understand that. Doesn't seem fair. I looked up to God one day, May the 12th, 1950, and I looked up to God and I said, my daddy just died and died an unsaved death. As far as I know, my daddy's burning in hell right now. And I'm a preacher and I'm sincere and I'm trying to do what's right and I can't understand this. That was on Saturday. But bless God, the next night I was standing up preaching about a just and a loving Heavenly Father. Why? Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Because I believe in His justice. And though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Why? Because I've settled it. I think you're sincere. And that's the way you put up with me for 30 years. You said back yonder, I believe in that man up there. I believe in the guy. He's not perfect, but I believe in him. I believe he tries to be perfect. I believe he tries to do what's right. He's not always just, but I believe he tries to be just. So when I make my mistake, you say, I believe this. Though I can't see it right now, I believe he sees it. And since he's sincere in what he's doing, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to be a member of First Baptist Church by faith. The just shall live by faith. This morning, look up to God and say, God, I cannot always see it as you see it, but I can always believe that you're my God and that you always balance the scales properly. And I take you as my Savior. Your baptism won't do it. Baptism will leave the scales like that. Faith will leave it like that. Your church membership, You can confess your sins to the priest all afternoon. It'll still be like that. The only thing that satisfies the righteousness and justice of a just God is when you come to Christ and put your trust in what He did on Calvary, because He satisfied His own righteous demands that you may live eternally in heaven with Him. Hey, that's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Huh? It's not what you do, it's what He did. If I were you, I'd take God up on that. I'd trust Him as my Savior and make Him my God. Let Him make you His child so you can go to heaven when you die. Would you bow your heads, please?